Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now is J.P. Finley from NBC4 Sports and 106.7 The Fan in D.C. Joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. J.P., thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, so what do you think? What do you think of Green Bay? What do you think of Titletown? What do you think of Lambeau? Tell me.
Oh, man, you know, I've been up here a handful of times, and I've always enjoyed it. Lambeau's iconic. You know, you walk down that tunnel and see that old, like, brick kind of, I don't know, whatever you step over and the plaque there. It's such a cool spot, and it's interesting because I don't know the exact dates, right? But having covered games here and at Soldier Field, it's I imagine they're built relatively similar to one another, and Green Bay, with all the renovations and additions, has kept the entire character of this place.
Yep.
And in Soldier Field, they just completely bastardized and made it seem like two different places. So I always enjoy coming here. Actually, I've never gotten to stay in Green Bay. I've stayed in Milwaukee and Sheboygan and Appleton a few times, but I got to stay in Green Bay for this one, which was kind of a unique experience too. So cool trip, ready for the game.
That's awesome. Let's talk about this game tonight. I had said earlier when we started the show about we do this confident, concerned, and curious. What are you confident about the Packers, concerned about the Packers, and what are you curious about to see in the game for the Packers? And my concern is making sure to kind of contain Jaden Daniels as much as possible, not letting him get to the edges to make plays or get to the edges to run upfield for 15 or 20 yards. I think that's my biggest concern coming into this game from a Packers defensive perspective. Do you think that's accurate, or do you think it should be somewhere else?
I think that's pretty fair. Not a lot of teams have figured out a way to contain this young quarterback. You know, I know the Packers had a ton of success last week against the Lions, but I think there's a pretty big and that Lions rushing attack was great last year, certainly.
Yeah.
And Gibbs is great, and Montgomery's really good and a tough runner. But Jared Goff is a 0 out of 10 threat to run the ball at all. So it's a very different rushing attack you're taking on this week, both in design runs for Jaden and in just his ability to scramble. And, you know, one of the things that I'm not sure folks realize with Jaden's legs is it really limits the team's ability to play man-to-man on the outside.
Yep.
Because if Jaden sees that corner running downfield with his back to him, that's an easy first down with his legs. So it makes an impact beyond just the run game, and I think that's a fair concern for sure.
JP, last year with Jeff Hafley as defensive coordinator in his first year, every time they saw a running quarterback, at least for the first three quarters of the year or so, they would bring four, drop everybody else back into zone, and make the quarterback dink and dunk him down the field. And normally that's exactly what would happen until he would get aggressive in the second half of games. However, that team did not have Micah Parsons. This one does. Last year, obviously, what, 4.5 sacks, I think it was, against the Commanders in Jaden Daniels. Talk about this offensive line and how good it is.
Yeah, I mean, Micah Parsons, you know, with the Cowboys, I've seen him play this team twice a year as long as he's been in the league, and he has killed Washington, just killed him. And last year, even with Jaden, he was really, really effective. I do think Washington's offensive line is way better. Laramie Tunsil's kind of a household name to football fans at this point. And then on the other side, you got a rookie, first-round pick, Josh Connerly, who played pretty well last week against the Giants. He did have, you know, he had a little welcome to the NFL moment against Brian Burns. And Burns isn't Parsons, but Burns is a really good player too. I think Cliff Kingsbury is pretty smart, though, and they have one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL in John Bates. So I would expect to see a good amount of help with Bates on with Connerly in kind of clear passing situations. Parsons is a problem, man. I mean, everybody knows it and is cognizant of it, and he keeps doing it. So not to say he's going to be blank tonight, but I think you'll see a lot of quick stuff to the outside, something that is a staple of Cliff Kingsbury's offense anyway. I think you'll see plenty of that tonight for Washington.
When we talk about the other side of the ball, now we get to Washington's defense and the Packers offense. We talk with J.P. Finley, NBC4 Sports, and 106.7 The Fan in D.C. here.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan here in Milwaukee. The Packers offense is interesting because last year, obviously, not a true number one. So every week it was a different leading receiver as they went throughout the year, which I think makes it a little bit more difficult to defend. Now, this year they come out in week one and they run a lot of two tight end sets and really try and focus going that way. And then LaFleur says earlier in the week that, hey, man, it will change week to week based on who we are playing. What is the weakness of this Washington defense?
You know, it's a good question. Last week, they were great. I mean, as celebrated as Green Bay's effort was against the Lions, Washington's defense put out a pretty similar effort. Now, they were playing the Giants, and the expectations for that New York team were pretty low, so I don't think people viewed it the same. Their defensive front was nasty last week. The Giants averaged about 2 yards a carry. They signed Javon Kinlaw this offseason, Dietrich Wise, Von Miller. They got a lot bigger, a lot stronger on their defensive front, and I certainly think they hope that carries through tonight. Secondary, Marshawn Lattimore is a veteran in this league. They drafted a kid, Trey Amos, who looked great last week. He was their second-round pick. Not to say they don't have a weakness. Everybody does. But the last week really wasn't much of a challenge, and I think some of that was a byproduct of Russ Wilson and a Giants O-line that was beat up. Their linebackers, Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu, both made all-pro teams last year. But there's not a lot of depth at linebacker. Depth is an issue kind of on the second two levels of the defense. On the front, they can go 8-9 guys. But at linebacker and at corner, you when they start to rotate guys in and out as the game continues, especially on a short week, when you get past kind of the starting line, the next group falls down a notch.
See, and that's what I was – earlier in the show when we were talking about this, I was like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they went away from the two tight end set and try to spread this thing out with 3 and 4 wide receivers to try to spread Washington out to test those cornerbacks and give more running room for these running backs with 4 spread wide receivers. And I don't know if Washington would be prepared for that or not, but I think that would definitely be a different look than maybe Washington's expecting.
Sure. I mean, when you've got – is it Kraft and Musgrave, right? Like,
yeah.
I think there are reasons to go with two tight ends out there. But because of the depth Green Bay has at wideout and just the amount of guys you could roll out there, certainly 3 wide receiver sets, if not 4. It's going to be interesting because it was a couple weeks ago Dan Quinn told us that because of the short week in week 2 and knowing they had – you know, the NFL teams kind of get that little bit of extra time now with the way the schedule is constructed with the 17 regular season games and that 3rd preseason game, and then you kind of get that bonus week. I mean, Washington's been game planning for Green Bay for probably 2-3 weeks. I imagine Green Bay's doing the same thing.
But that's JP, that's the thing, though. Like, the history of Matt LaFleur versus Dan Quinn is a big advantage to the Green Bay Packers offense.
Sure. I mean, I'm aware of it. And not to mention, LaFleur in primetime has been so good.
Yes.
So there's definitely some things pointing Green Bay's way. I mean, not to mention playing at home in front of what I imagine is going to be a pretty nutso crowd.
JP, do you travel with them week to week?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've had this conversation too. How much really is there a home field advantage in the NFL? Are there stadiums that have true home field advantages at this point?
Yeah, I certainly think there are. Now, it requires the team to be good because, you know, people might check out late in the year. But, I mean, there's going to be some burgundy and gold here tonight for sure. I think the standard NFL is like 80-20 visiting fans. I'd expect that tonight. But the home field advantage stuff can be very – I mean, dude, you guys deal with the Lions. That Ford Field, whether it's engineered to be loud or those guys – or that those fans are just that loud – that is a significant home field advantage. Where does it really show up? These guys aren't in college. They're not going to come out of that tunnel and be intimidated to play at Lambeau. I think they'll appreciate the history and the iconic nature. But I don't think there's any intimidation. Like, maybe you see college teams going to the big house or Death Valley or something. But when you get to a big third down late in the game and you're trying to, you know, make an audible or something, I think that stuff matters.
JP, your pick for tonight.
I'm not sure your crowd's going to like it.
That's fine.
I like Washington's chance. I like Washington's chances a lot. I think if you're betting this thing, it's either lay the points with the Packers or take the Washington money line. If it gets late and it's tight, I just like Jaden Daniels with the ball in his hands.
And I would have a hard time arguing against Jaden Daniels with the ball in his hands if it gets late in the game. JP Finley, NBC4 Sports, 106.7 The Fan in D.C. Follow him on Twitter at JP Finley, NBCS. Thank you so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Take care.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.